Well, amen. Turn our Bibles this evening to the book of Ezra. Book of Ezra, we're in Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9, we're going to jump back in. We took last week off from there for a bit. And so I want to jump back here in chapter 9. We'll kind of try to soak back into it, see where we're at here. So in Ezra chapter 9 and verse 1. It says, now, when these things were done. See, don't you hate when he's like, well, these things. Now I've got to go back to explain what these things are, right? So now I'm going to go back to Ezra chapter 1. No, I'm kidding. So these things, remember, they came. They had all these offerings. They had that all these treasures. They brought all the tons of silver. I mean, it was just like all this stuff. They brought it. They gave offerings. It was a great, wonderful time. And so all that, I brought down about 3 sentences. So when all those things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. Then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. Let's pray together as we get started tonight. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that you've given us an account of the imperfection of your people. Lord, I pray tonight you'd help us to see the spirit that was in them and their desire to be right with you. Lord, help us to glean that from your word tonight that would be a help and encouragement to us, and we'll thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. So enter back into Jerusalem, right? Ezra's been told, they get there. Ezra's been told about the sin of the people. He's astonished. It's unbelievable. Sitting there quiet. Those that feared the word of God were gathered around him. So we see this picture. He's there, he's ripped his beard. I mean, I don't know what that looked like. Honestly, they ripped their hair out and ripped their beard out and ripped their clothes. I mean, it was, by the way, you think, it sounds a little bit like a maniac or something, doesn't it? But it was, we don't have that in our, I'm thankful, you know. It'd take a while to grow back. Listen, there's something about that meant to be an appearance. It meant to demonstrate visibly how upset this had made him in the situation that's going on there. So he's sitting there, and the people, it said the people that feared the word of God, okay, this was the specific people group, those that feared the word of God, they gathered around him. They're just there with him. And then verse 5, it said, and at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my Lord, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. So Ezra now confesses his shame for the people. He's ashamed for the people before the Lord. He's ashamed for his people. They had already received the consequences. They'd already received the consequences from turning back from God. And now here they are, back in the land, doing the very same thing. Verse 13, and after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hast given us such deliverance as this. Should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us? So there should be no more remnant nor escaping. O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous. For we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. Ezra got it, right? He now admits that they don't even deserve to remain upon the earth. God is righteous, and whatever he would do with them, he said, you've already, really, the punishment we got was less than what we deserved. We stand here and whatever, God is right. You know, there's a spirit with this. This is the spirit of true repentance. It really is, folks. One that says, listen, I deserve this. The opposite of that is, it's not what? It's not fair. It's not fair. Do you ever feel like it's not fair? No, we don't need that. Yeah. So this is the spirit of true repentance. Not just seeking escape, but realizing the consequences of what we deserve. So number one, I want to just get to this, right to it. Revival reaps repentance. Revival reaps repentance. Look at chapter 10 now, verse 1. Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. So listen here. Try not to read ahead with me, folks. I know we're going to get to all of it. Okay? I know you're like, well, let me just go. You should have read it before. Right? You knew we was going there. Okay? So we're here now. They had come into a time of blessing, and the hand of God was upon them. God was blessing and just blessing after blessing, and God had now given crops, and we've seen that earlier. It's just going forward and forward, and now this treasure comes in. Now the government's for them. I mean, everything is just amazing. Great blessing. They were now in a place to see God do great and amazing things among them. This is the way we are spiritually. I wish it wasn't so, but we are. Like, you know, this morning in Sunday school, you know, we had 40 people here for Sunday school this morning. You know, the last time we had 40 people for Sunday school? Me either. Right? And it's kind of grown each week. I'm like, well, we'll get a few more chairs. I'm like, I'm going to put out too many chairs this week. There was none left. Should have put more out. You know, it gets exciting when there's a movement, isn't it? And then we'll come, you know, maybe next week we'll come and there's 20. I don't know. If there's 20 next week, we're going to be like, man, there's only 20. Well, then it used to be 20, you know, so that should be exciting. But we're these kind of people that see some. But there's times, though, when we see that the Spirit is right. You see what I'm saying? That the Spirit of God's people is right and God's blessing. And you're like, man, God is about to bless this thing. That's where they were at. God's about to bless what we're doing. I'm just saying revival was now reaping repentance. These men came. Ezra didn't know. I think that's clear. Ezra didn't know. And all of a sudden he heard about this. Right? Rips his life apart. It's clear he didn't know about this, and he's astonished. And so he's... So number one, revival reaps repentance. Listen, They were rebuilding the temple and the house of worship. They were rebuilding the dwelling place of the Lord. They were reestablishing the light of the of righteousness in the world. It had been put out, snuffed out. There was no more a God in Israel, in a sense, because they had left him. And so now he was being reestablished that there is the God of Israel. This was an amazing opportunity that God was giving them to be a part of that. What a thrill it is that God would use us for his work. But it was in the midst of the situation that they realized that this was our opportunity. That this is it. Something had come, but they'd also realized that it was going to take repentance. It was going to take some repentance to see what God was doing to go forward. Okay. See, listen. What they realized, God's doing something here, and this is exciting, and God's given us the opportunity to be part of this momentous occasion. It's 70 years since there was was the light of the gospel in that sense in the world, and now it was. But then they also realized if God's going to really do that with us, they had enough history to realize God doesn't work in the midst of a mess. By the way, no matter how bad God wants to work, He's not going to work in the midst of a mess of sin among His people. Isn't that something to think about? God wants to do a work greater than we want Him to do a work. But He won't do it in the midst of a sin-polluted people. And so they realized, if we're going to see this happen, it's going to take some repentance. And so revival had encouraged them to seek repentance. And so now we find Ezra, garments rent, beard plucked, sitting in the place of mourning and repentance. He pleads with God, but he had not yet instructed the people. He had just pleaded with God, and you know, he made a prayer. We have his prayer here, but he hadn't. He just pleaded the case and admitted some things, hadn't given any instruction. Yet we find the people being stirred. I want you to get this, folks. What we find is the people being stirred with the revival that was coming. And they were the ones that came to say we're ready to repent. We're going to get to that and deal with that a little bit later, but I want us to really grab a hold of this. This was the people coming to Him to say, we've done this great trespass, and we've got to fix it. And so they, the people, come with an answer. Look at verse 3 now. He says, now therefore, this is this one that comes and that we've trespassed. He said, now therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Wow. Repentance comes with great sacrifice. What these men came and suggested was that they should repent of the evil that they did by making it right before God. Hey, listen, they didn't say, well, I made some mistakes. Mistakes are... I think we need to be careful not to mix mistake and sin. You know, sin is going against God. Mistake is something I'm just... was dumb and made a bad choice, or you know, didn't realize it, but there's a difference. This was sin. They knew they were not supposed to do this. That's why nobody had brought this to their attention. Maybe there was others brought it to their attention, but here they bring it to Ezra's that we've done this thing, and they knew it was gone. They started with this. They started with confessing their sin. We did this thing. Then, second thing, they made a new covenant with God to keep His law. And then third, they straightened up their conduct. Okay, so we might call this the three C's. Okay, anytime there's revival, renewal, and reform, the three C's are going to be present. Okay, listen, you're not going to have one without the other. So they were seeking. Look here, they were seeking the counsel, it says there, the counsel of Ezra, and those men that trembled at the commandment of our God. They were seeking their counsel. They said, we want to get the counsel of God from you on this. Ultimately, though, what they said is they wanted to do that which was according to the law of God. We want to get back to doing it God's way. Amen? Okay, that's what revival is. That's really what revival is to revive, is to get us back to where we once were. Get us back to that place of listen, we started by saying, Lord, I am yours and you are mine. I'm pleading to follow you, for you to save me. And we get excited and then things get down the road. He said, now we're trying to get back to that place. We want to do it according to the Word of God. They were not trying to find a way. Watch this. They're not trying to find a way to live with their own consequences. Okay, so sometimes what we do is we realize I've sinned. And this sin I've sinned was a pretty life-altering sin. But now, just got to deal with it. You've known people that live like that, or maybe you've lived like that. You made this grievous sin, and now it's like, well, it's life-altering. What do I do now? I've got to just live with it. And so, listen, they weren't trying to find a way to live with the consequences of their sin. They were seeking a way to be in God's will. You see, they didn't settle for this is just who we are now. No. We need to fix this to be right before God. Ezra, being in a state of mourning, as they seen him there, just shredded and there and just sitting there, and he must have seemed a bit hopeless to them. This great leader coming, and he's brought all this, and now here he is, we've sinned, and he's just broken down, weeping. You know what Ezra did to cause all this? Nothing. You ever hurt somebody like that? You ever hurt somebody like that? Like what you did hurt them? And that's a deep pain, isn't it? It's a deep pain when you've hurt somebody to the place of you where they're mourning. You're like they're not upset because of what they did. It's because of what I did. And you know what they said? We don't want to live like that. I don't want to deal with that. I want to get right with God. And so they come, and no doubt Ezra's seemed hopeless, and at least maybe led to a feeling that there was no hope for Israel. We're done. You ever felt like you went too far before? Like, I've went too far. I'm never going to be able to fix this. Look at verse 4. This is still the Shechaniah, okay? He's saying, arise. He's talking to Ezra, arise. For this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. So these men were ready for revival. They're now saying, Ezra, we're going to do it. We're ready. We're ready to. We're going to. This is. You're the leader. It's up to you. You know, this is up to you. But just arise. Come on. We're going to do this thing. We're going to get it in the right way. We're going to move forward. We're going to see it. We're ready. They were ready for revival. They were ready to see God's people have success. Look at verse 5 now, and it goes on. Then arose Ezra, and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word. And they swear. I like this. I like this part. Ezra rises up, says, okay, all right. If you're willing to go forward in confession, a new covenant with God, and a change of conduct, he said this. He said, listen, then repentance and renewal and reform is going to come. Then there's going to be hope for Israel. But they would have to make a commitment first. They will follow God's instruction according to His law, according to how you said. People are frustrated sometimes. You ever heard anybody say, I would do anything for whatever that is. We are very, humanity is very conditioned. We are situational people. Like when something's really bad, God, if you just get me out of this, I'll do whatever you want. Until we get out of that and say, God, I'll do anything you want except for the one thing you want me to do. Right? We're just, that's kind of our nature. And this thing, and so Ezra said, okay, you ready to fix this? Then let's do this. You swear. Man, we don't do that anymore, do we? You know, it's pretty, you know why? It's because it's pretty dangerous. I think there's still something about that vow, if you vow a vow to the Lord. I think it was Old Testament, but I think there's something with that. At least we still have this sense that if I swear to God that I'm going to do something, then I don't believe, you know, I was very rare. When I say very rarely, I mean I can't ever remember a time I promised my family something. I promise you we'll go do this on Saturday. You know why? Because I don't know what's going to happen Saturday. I rarely ever promise my, and when I say, I can't ever remember a time I promised my kids, I promise we'll do this because I don't have control over my own life. And I think about sometimes with this, but this back here, Ezra said, swear that you're going to follow what you're going to say you were going to do. You know what they said? We're ready for this. We swear. We're not just giving lip service. We swear. Submission. Can I tell you that? Submission begins before there's any action. Submission begins in the heart of a decision. That's where submission begins. Submission doesn't begin when we do the thing. Submission begins when I say, you know that, I'm willing, I'm ready to follow. And so then the action will follow. So Ezra gets to the work of preparing for repentance. Look at verse 6 now. Then Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. And they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem. And that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited, and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Whew, it's go time. You ready to get serious? So he said, I kind of like how Ezra does this. He's there. He's just there in mourning. They say, you know, they're there. They gather around. And finally, they said, you know, we're going to do this thing. Ezra says, okay. First, swear you're going to do it. And so we swear. Okay, 3 days. I want everybody here. I want everybody here. And if you don't come, you lose your stuff. And not only do you lose your stuff, but you don't come back. You're separated. You can head back to Babylon. You can head out into the wilderness, but you are excommunicated. You're like, well, did they do that? Well, we're reading that. They said they wanted to follow God. They said they were ready to repent. So now came the time to call them out on it. All were called to come before them. Should they fail to, they would be separated from the congregation of the people, and they would forfeit their stuff. The idea seems to be this, that if they didn't come, they would no longer be allowed to enter to the cities. So if you didn't come now, you had to flee. Wouldn't you imagine there'd be some that took their wife and kids, said, I'm not doing that, I'm getting out of here. Right? Look at verse 9, though. Then, what's that next word? All the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the ninth month, on the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and for the great rain. They all came. This was a people ready for repentance. It was also a people that feared the Lord. Right? I mean, you ever been scared to death of going against God? I have been. I want to live like that, actually. I mean, just like, man, I don't want God to have to do something in my life because I'm not following Him. And I've always worried that God would do not just something in my life, but on my children, my family, because I'm going to be stubborn, stiff-necked? No. And they were there, and they all came. And listen, the process of all these things can almost seem like instantaneous, like this happened, but like happening in a week or so. But there was some time lapse, and we don't have everything in the Scriptures here. They arrived at Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month. It tells us that in chapter 7, verse 9. And then now here it was, the 12th day of the ninth month, some 4 months later. So all this transpired in about 4 months. And now they're gathered before the house of God, the temple that they had just built. What they had just celebrated. They're all gathered right there in the street of it. Somehow, maybe in the court of it and this kind of thing. Maybe somewhere around there. They were gathered around there. And here they are there, verse 10. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. So the first thing he does is the sin was declared publicly. Among all the people, they're all there now. They're all there. Tens of thousands of people are all there. And he stands up and says, here's what you've done. The sin is declared publicly. Verse 11. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure. And separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Now, the needed action of, first of all, he says, confess, right? And the second thing, repentance was called for. And look at verse 12. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. You know what we find here? The people agreed. So look, when you see up there, in verse 11, he says this, do his pleasure, so unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Some people say, well, I don't know, maybe this was just what they come up with. No. Ezra says this is the Lord's pleasure. This is the Lord's desire to do this thing. This is a very controversial chapter in the Scriptures. Can I just say right here, we don't find this thing happening again ever. You say, is this what we ought to always do? Listen, there's times that God did things. There's times that people came into church, lied about how much they were given, and they died. We don't do that every week. Invite me next week. No, I'm just saying. So we find something here, but I'm telling you, this was serious, folks. They were. You know what? I was so serious. They were looking. There was a time of revival. There was about to change. About to make a difference in the community once again. Let me ask you this question. Do you think this would have been possible without the people agreeing to it? I don't think so. I don't think this was something that God was forcing. By the way, God had called people to repentance throughout the Old Testament. And most of the time the answer was sticking their nose up at God or killing the prophet. Right? Or the Savior. And so they agreed. I think had they not been involved and had they not agreed, I think they would have spiraled back to where they just came from without the people willingly following the Lord. I really do. I think if they would have said, we're good. We're actually, God, we're going to do our best, but I'm going to live my best life. And this is the life that I want to live. And, nobody can make me do it. And God could say, that's where you're wrong. This Old Testament. When folks got out of hand, sometimes the earth just opened and swallowed them up. That just, wasn't all the time. But there were some things God did. But this was a people that said, we're ready to get it right. And they were serious about it. Look at verse 13 now. He said, but the people are many. And it is the time of much rain. It said back there they were afraid of God and the great rain. There must have been a lot of rain at that time. He said, but the people are many, and it's the time of much rain. And we are not able to stand without. Neither is this a work of one day or two. For we are many that have transgressed in this thing. Let now our rulers of all the congregation stand. And let all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come at appointed times and with them the elders of every city and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. Only Jonathan, the son of Asahel, and Jehaziah, the son of Tikva, were employed about this matter, and Meshullam and Shabbathiah the Levite helped them. So, I love this. I love this part. You know what I love about this part? The men said, you know, we got an idea. Not, what are you going to do, Pastor? I like this. I like when people have ideas. Like ideas that we'll help with. You know, not like ideas. How about you do this? You know what they say? They come up with an idea. I want us just to understand what's happening here for a minute. Okay, just for a bit, what's happening here. This was widespread throughout the nation. Which, by the way, just because it was widespread, well, everybody's doing it, didn't mean it was left alone. Well, everybody's doing it. How can we even preach on that? Oh, man. That's why I like going through the scriptures verse by verse. What? Nobody's sitting here tonight thinking, what's the pastor preaching about? No, because we've just been going. I mean, we started forever ago and just for here. And nobody's thinking, what's going on? What is he trying to get? No. Going through the scripture. You know what? Plus, sometimes I'm going to preach on things that, because I know what's going on in people's lives, I'm a little bit uncomfortable. If I was just like picking a message and preaching, I feel a little uncomfortable. Like they're going to think he's preaching at me. And probably I would be, but when you go like this, it's like God just brings us to these things, and we find this stuff, and just because it was widespread, doesn't mean we just say, well, everybody's doing it, and so, whatever. No, listen, they didn't leave it, but here's the thing. There was much work to do to make this right. This wasn't just a... So sometimes we get a little mixed up with it. This wasn't like, okay, everyone that's got a strange wife and children, send them down the road. It wasn't that kind of thing. It wasn't just like that. No, there was going to be judges. These judges were there to give letters of divorcement. You say, I thought God was against divorce. God is against divorcement. God is against this, but he's against sin. And there was times in history that God gave them this space for this letters of divorcement because of their own sin. So we find this thing happening, making it this official separation, but it would also been on a case-by-case basis, case-by-case situation. I mean, listen, each city, it tells us, would have a judge, and they would judge each man according to, probably in the idea, was somebody that knew the people in that city, and was able to judge them that way. There were likely, I'm just trying to get off out the bus a little bit here, there were likely some people, some of these women, that had turned from their idols unto the living and true God. And so every case was judged accordingly. This seems to be some compassion. How are we going to send these women and children out as heavy rain? You know, probably what they're saying, they're going to die. So this isn't compassionless. This is kind of where there's people want to just, well, it was metaphorical. No, it was, they sent them away. And you think, well, God is, that's not very compassionate. God would do that. Well, sin has consequences. You know, there's this whole campaign, women, my body, my choice. They want their choice on their body when they're sinning. And then they also want the choice when they're continuing to kill. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And somebody says, hey, listen, you can't just kill people. I think that's pretty good. You can't just, that's a pretty fair law, isn't it? You can't just kill people. Don't you think it's a good law? I'm glad somebody can't just come in and say, I don't like you. Man, there'd be a lot of, you know, the value of life goes up. A lot of pagan nations live like that. The value of life is gone. And so there's this thing going on. God isn't unjust. And listen, sin has a consequence. But this wasn't a work of a day or two. Look at verse 16 with me now. He said, and the children of the captivity did so. And Ezra the priest was certain chief of the fathers after the house of their fathers, and all of them by their names were separated and set down in the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. So about 3 weeks later, this work began. In verse 17, he says, and they made an end with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month. So it took a couple of months to complete this whole process. By the way, this wasn't a long, drawn-out process that was delayed, right? It wasn't like, well, we'll get to it. No. No, it took some time to complete. It wasn't pushed down the road. It was done in a way that was decent and in order, but it wasn't pushed down the road. It was just a couple months later. You know, it just took a couple months, and it was done. Verse 18, and among the sons of the priests, there were found that had taken strange wives, namely of the sons of Jeshua, the son of Josedech, and his brethren, Messiah and Eleazar and Jerib and Gedaliel. And they gave their hands that they would put away their wives. And being guilty, they offered a ram of the flock for their trespass. And this is what the priest was supposed to do, according to the law. They said, we're going to do it as well. So it was that they did according to the law, making an offering for the trespass as well. And there's a list here in the Bible of every name, at least of each family that had partaken of this sin, as well as repented of it. You got a record. There's the Hall of Faith and there's the Hall of Sinners. Or we call it the Hall of Repenters. I'd rather have my name on the faith list than the repent list. But if I had sinned, I'd want to be one of the repenters. Look at verse 44. I'm not reading all these names. My tongue is... Verse 44. And these had taken strange wives, and some of them have wives by whom they had children. The end. Period. Then abruptly, the book of Ezra finishes. It's quite a... Wow. Quite an ending. What they did was a terrible departure from the Word of God. The only way to restore fellowship at that time was to restore what they had broken. So here's our conclusion tonight. All right? So what can we take away from this? First, this sin is great before God. Sin is great. Let us not think that there are some sins that God is not concerned about us transgressing. Like some things, well, you know, that's not important to God. I think every bit of it is. Let me say this also, though, that we can say that we're too deep into some sin to correct it. Hey, listen, no sin is God's going to deal with all of it, but can I tell you, no matter how deep we get in, we can still make it right. Still make it right. But number two, second thing, also we might take notice of this. Maybe primarily it's this. Repentance, renewal, and reform are the result of God's people choosing it. Right? When we choose it, the three C's, right? The three C's will follow. Confession, covenant, new covenant with God, and a change of our conduct. We will confess our full responsibility. Folks, that's what confession is. We'll make a new covenant relationship with God and His Word, and we'll change our conduct. Which change our conduct means I'm not going to continue living in my sin. I'm going to stop doing that. That's what repentance says. Finally, is this number three. Finally, I think we can learn that we are never without hope of restoring our relationship with God. Isn't that good? We're never without. Doesn't mean, well, let me just go get it so I can come back. I don't want to. This isn't a message to people. It's like, so I could go get deep into sin and I'll come back. I can always get back out of it. Wrong answer. These were a people that revival stirred them to repentance. Everybody doesn't wake up to their sin. It may take some extreme changes in our life to repent like this. But I want to promise you this. So I thought you didn't promise. I can promise these kind of promises. There isn't anything in this world that this world will offer you that is worth turning your back on God. Nothing. Nothing that this world has to offer you. I can promise you that. Amen. Because it's based on Him. Revival brings repentance. Revival brings repentance, stirs up and causes to repent. But can I tell you of a certainty? Watch this. Repentance brings revival. Yeah. It's a wonderful spiritual circle. Something's like, which is first, repentance or revival? Uh-huh. It depends on what God deals with first in your life. Sometimes God's going to deal with revival in your life, and you just, man, I need to get, and you just get excited about what God's doing, and it causes you to search me, O God, and it brings you to revival, to repentance. And sometimes we're stirred for repentance, and like, I've done wrong, and I got to get this right, and repentance is, it brings such renewal to our life. What a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful spiritual circle. And let me just close with this statement. It's worth it all. It's worth it all. This is almost one of those stories. You're like, is that like really in the Bible? It's there. Sometimes there's things in the Bible you want to say, well, why? And you know, you can get some of these things and listen. God just said, this is it. We don't see that again. We're not going to. So, Pastor, do you think that a person should send their wife? Listen, we're not Israel. And God hasn't instructed. There are some instructions on some of those things in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians, he tells us some of those things. But what I want to take away from this tonight is just, listen, revival and repentance. Which one is God working on your life? And let's all stand together. Father, I do pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, we so desperately need to see you as you are. And then, Lord, that it might cause us to see us as we are. Lord, we are so far from perfect. And yet I pray that we might be a people that are trying to follow Jesus. And Lord, we're going to fail. And at times we are going to transgress your law. And we're going to transgress your will. And Lord, I do pray that as those occasions come, that the Spirit of God would stir us to repent and look back to you. Lord, I pray that you'd bring revival. Would you bring revival to our church? Lord, would you bring such a flow and glowing spirit among your people that revival brings others into repentance? Just as we see in this story, that it caused others to come and say, we've transgressed and we want to make this right. And then, Lord, maybe tonight there'd be some that would say, you know, I've got some repentance I need to do. And that repentance might strike revival there. Lord, I don't know what your will is with this tonight, but I pray that you'd help us to see from your word that we're never, ever without hope. While we yet breathe, we have that occasion to make things right with you and to bring revival, make a difference. Thank you for your word tonight. Lord, pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Listen, maybe God's spoken, the altar's open.